Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to episode 003 of The Launch Pod. My name is Zach. I'm the founder and host here at The Launch Pad. I'm joined by Ian, as always. Ian, how's it going?
It's going pretty good. Nice to be here again.
Yeah, so if it's your first time here, this is our weekly show where we break down kind of everything that's happened in the last week in space. We take your guys' live comments and questions and kind of just hang out as a space community. I see people already doing it in the chat. Take a moment, let us know where you're watching from. I love to see we got people all over the world. And if you are watching this on the replay, there's two things we want you to do. First, if you're watching the replay, type replay right now in the comments. And if you make it all the way to the end, comment again and say replay all the way to the end. We're just curious how far you guys get on the replays, and if you're watching, I want you guys to feel part of it. If you ever have questions from an episode, leave them in the comments and we will try to answer those on the next week's show. But we're going to go through some of the things that have happened this week in space, and then we're going to take your guys' live comments and questions. So if you guys have a question, hold them off until the second part of the show, and then we're going to say send them in, and we're going to try to get through all of those here tonight. If you've got a comment or something while we're talking, send it in. And if you want to kind of interrupt us and derail the show, send in a super chat, and we're going to focus on whatever you say in that case. With that, I think we're going to jump kind of right into it. Something we wanted to address and mention today with the date is it is the anniversary of the loss of Apollo 1, that first Apollo crew that was on the pad, not going for a launch, and unfortunately had a fire in the capsule, and all three were lost, which ultimately did lead to a major revamping of the Apollo capsule, a full redesign, and making it ultimately a safer vehicle. But those were the first three Americans really lost in the space race, and laid that foundation for us to continue going to space. But also today is Astronaut Remembrance Day. So not only are we remembering the Apollo 1 crew, but we're also remembering the crew of Challenger and Columbia, and just the sacrifices they have made to continue the U.S. space thing. If you've ever been to Kennedy, they have this beautiful memorial at the just beside the shuttle center, and they have the names of the Apollo crew here, as well as the two shuttle crews, and they've started to actually include names of other really important people that have helped advance the space industry and that whole thing. So definitely take a moment, check that out. But NASA having their special Remembrance Day ceremonies today to remember those crews. So we want to make sure we brought that up first off the top, and just that, yeah, we thank those friends and families of those that have been lost on behalf of their dedication and their sacrifice to that. So something important to bring up. But yeah, on a really awkward transition, because there's no good way to transition out of that. If you've been following us for a while, you've been looking at L2, which I'm not sure why we're seeing here. But Ian, what's going on with James Webb?
I think we may have skipped something because it wasn't bolded. If you want to back up for a second and talk about Perseverance Rover, otherwise we can move over to L2.
Nope, there we go. That's right. Perseverance is first.
Okay, cool. So Perseverance Rover, as some of you guys may know, is on Mars, is doing a really cool stuff. One of its mission objectives is to take drilling samples of different rocks on different parts of the surface and save them for, hopefully, a future mission to bring back to us so we can do research back here on Earth. Everything's been going good so far. However, a few weeks back, we got word that there was a rock that was stuck inside of one of the sample tubes in the drill. And that obviously isn't good. So they thought about it for a while, and they have officially now dislodged it by doing a little jiggle, a little dance, and moving that drill up and down. And they think now that it is good enough to where they can take another sample using the same tube. So that's pretty cool. What do you think about that, Zach?
I think it's neat that we're still having to troubleshoot these things that we maybe wouldn't have thought of, like how did a rock get in there? I'm really happy to hear that they think we're going to be able to still use this same tube, because obviously they are limited. But also, like, just the fact that we have this video footage from Mars of just a rover spitting rocks out, I think is quite amazing that we just have that quality and that clarity. But the fact that they can have that confirmation that they did see all of those, and with the arm they were able to look into the tube and see it's that it's clear, And there's kind of a look into one of the tubes there. But if you guys want to follow along with the Mars Perseverance rover, you can do so mars.nasa.gov. They follow all the rovers that are over there, and you can get updates almost every few days on what's happening there. And then we'll be bringing our flash updates on the channel when there's kind of major developments with it. So something really great to see them continuing there, working on getting
Liberty.
Those samples.
Liberty Dude and Richie, thank you both for the super chats. And Liberty Dude, you have already derailed us. You are correct. But we do want to take a second just to mention that. Thank you guys so much. And Richie mentioning the CAM fund.
CAM fund? I wonder what that is. We need to get better cameras. I think it's because my camera always freezes, and so far it hasn't. So maybe it's that. But maybe you guys should stay tuned for other updates coming in the near future.
We'll see
what happens.
I love how we can spend hundreds of million dollars on some of the most advanced scientific equipment we've ever built and send it to another planet. And at the end of the day, biggest issue we're having is, oh no, rock stuck in tube. I'm glad it's not worse than that, but it goes to show, yeah, you can really plan for everything. And still, there's going to be issues that arise. And the solutions, given enough time, will always work out. We've got some pretty smart people at NASA. And yeah, like you said earlier, I'm just really glad that they can reuse that. And man, can you imagine maybe 5 to 10 years from now, once we actually get those sample tubes back, the stuff that we can do with fresh Mars samples? We have, of course, lots of Mars rocks that have fallen back to Earth, but those are from asteroid impacts. So they go through space and then they re-enter atmosphere, and that adds a lot of heat and other elements to the equation when you're studying those rocks. So to get something straight from the ground in Mars, from specific areas that we think may hold water or specific minerals that we want to look at, that's going to be awesome. I can't wait for that.
Now, what's going to happen first? Humans land on Mars, or we get those samples back? What are you thinking?
Oh, that's actually a pretty good question. I think humans land on Mars. Right now, I think they said that they wanted to do the mission to retrieve those samples, which will be robotic, by the way, not human planned, 10 years from now, adding a little bit of wiggle room, maybe say 12 to 15 years from now, I think we'll definitely have people by Mars at that point. Hopefully we can send something SpaceX related to Mars within the next 3 to 5 years. And then I think maybe another 1 to 2, and then they're going to try and send people. Of course, it'll always depend slightly on where Mars is in our orbit. It's not the same as sending a rocket into low Earth orbit or something like that. You are constrained with specific times of the year. And even I think there's like one good launch window every 2 years or so. Zach, do you know if I'm correct on that? Is that roughly right?
Yeah, it's like every 26 or 7 months or something. So it's every 2 years.
Yeah, so it's a lot harder to send something to Mars. And that's if you want to do it optimally. Of course, you can send something to Mars at any point, but then you're going to be using a lot more fuel, which means you have to have bigger rockets or smaller payloads, and it starts to get really complicated. So I don't know in terms of what Starship should be able to do, how much it can compensate for that, if they're really dictated to specifically that like 1 month optimal launch window, or if they have more room dependent on the payload size to maybe launch it over 6 months, which would be pretty incredible. But yeah, I think that's a great question. Hopefully people before. I think that's actually pretty possible. What do you think though?
I'm thinking the same thing. The way Starship's going, that I think we're going to have the humans there for. But for the same reasons you were mentioning, NASA doesn't even have a system to do it yet. They have a theory, and if we know how fast NASA moves, yeah, Elon's going to get there first. And maybe they can just have someone walk over and pick him up. Might be faster.
Yeah.
But let us know in the poll, guys. We want to hear from you guys. What will happen first? Humans land on Mars with Starship, or NASA returns the samples? And with 13 votes, it's 62% think NASA. So I'm curious, do you guys then not think Starship's going to work by the end of the decade? Let us know in the chat. Let's see here.
All right, now we can actually move on to James Webb.
Now we can talk about Webb. If you've been following along the last 30 days, James Webb has finally arrived at L2. It had a successful insertion burn, and something that's, you know, interesting that a lot of people didn't realize is until that burn was complete, it was on a suborbital trajectory. So it would have come back to Earth and not had a had its mission, but the burn went well, launch went extremely well, that they're now estimating about 20 years instead of 10 for its lifetime. As they shared in the burn announcement that it was successful, that they used only about a third of the fuel they thought they were going to need to for their correction burns, which is incredible. The actual insertion burn itself lasted about 5 minutes. They said they're still working out the data for the exact seconds of that, but they sent a 5-minute burn order and it completed it and is now an L2, but it will do a burn every 21 days. So I'm curious to see what updates we get from how those burns perform maintaining that L2 position. But they seem pretty excited that now they can focus just on cooling it down and focusing those mirrors.
Yeah, and I do want to point out throughout this entire process, of course, it's been just over a month now. There's been one premier channel that I've kept my eye on that has done a great job at live streaming a lot of this content. And in fact, they actually still have a live stream that's going on. Zach, if you maybe have seen this channel too, the Launchpad. If you guys are here specifically for a podcast and you haven't somehow missed our James Webb stream, do stop on by. There's a fantastic community. At any point in time, there's usually a few hundred people live watching, and we still have some telemetry data going for it. So as long as that continues to come through, we're going to have that stream up. And then if they throw more data our way, maybe as the mirrors cool down or as they start to focus everything, of course, we'll keep it going. And thank you to all the support that we've received there so far. It's been a pretty great experience watching this thing so far. What do you think, Zach?
Yeah, you guys have blown away our goals of 2022. You blew away before Christmas. So we don't even know how to schedule goals for this year, but I'm just excited about the community that we have and the people around the world that are always in the chat. I think it's one of the coolest things that you know there's a place you can go no matter the time of day, and there's always a few hundred people in there hanging out, chatting about really everything space and just science. And some of the James Webb team occasionally drop in, some of the NASA team drops in. So definitely a cool place because you never know who's going to be in the chat sharing details. And if you haven't yet, check out the command bot while you're in there. Joe has spent a lot of time for us building up this robot that it is the smartest YouTube robot you're going to find. That we have the user manuals of how to use the mirrors of James Webb that you can access. You can check out a bunch of other stuff there. So, definitely when you got some free time, head on over, check it out, and see where James Webb currently is and what it's doing. We've got an animation now actually showing where James Webb is in the solar system in relation to everything else. So, it's a little update that happened there today. But I know lots of people have been asking why James Webb such a big deal compared to Hubble. Well, it's what it's actually going to see. The change to seeing from visible light to infrared light, and we got a tiny Ian.
Oh no, it's happening again.
This is just a thing. If you guys donate more, Ian can stay larger. That's, I think, how this works,
No,
maybe.
it's inevitable. Every podcast, I become either a sliver of myself or a tiny version of myself. So there we
Well,
go.
there we
It's
go.
just
Cam
it's
fund
fine.
is for both of us, I guess. But this is a great representation about how Hubble and James Webb are so different. Hubble can really only see the visible light, and this is, of course, animated by artists to give some little bit of color based on what we're seeing. But James Webb's going to see that image on your right, where it's actually going to be able to see through that cloud and continue looking off into the distance using infrared. And I'm excited. The team's talking about hopefully the first wow images coming in June, and this was definitely a wow image from Hubble. So I can't imagine what we're gonna see from James Webb. What do you think's gonna be the first wow thing we find? Stars, planets, black hole?
Yeah, so well, not black hole, but I do wanna highlight that for a second, what wow image means. Essentially, I mean, there's a lot of different things that you can take photos of in the sky, but being now that we can shoot really high resolution infrared, and you can assign colors to different wavelengths in infrared because it's not the same as visible, where you just kind of see what you get. You can have some pretty incredible images, and they've said by wow images, meaning that the first few images that they're hopefully going to put out to us, like Zach said, sometime in June, hopefully, are going to be pretty incredible. So whether they're going to be images similar to famous ones coming from Hubble, like the Pillars of Creation, or if they're going to try and just do something new, maybe a long exposure, hoping that something there will just look pretty incredible. I don't know. The first few are definitely going to be nebula, though. I think nebula are some of the most beautiful things out there, maybe pointing it at another galaxy. But I think planet stuff, of course, I'm biased towards with my background, I am so excited for, but they're not really too wow. They're just mainly cool. So I'm gonna say we're gonna get some cool nebulas. And actually I'm hoping specifically, pointing to the picture that we're showing on screen now, that it is something like the Pillars of Creation. I think that would be pretty great. But what about you? What do you think it's going to be exactly?
I didn't follow Hubble close enough as it happened to really know like the waves it went through of the type of data and photos we got. So it's kind of hard to guess. Pillars of Creation, the one on the screen, obviously is one of those biggest ones from Hubble. That's just a really incredible, beautiful photo. So though I'm really excited what we're gonna see with infrared, I almost think the Hubble images are prettier just because they're a little cleaner. Like infrared, that's a lot of light. It's a busier picture. We could do a Find Waldo star edition. I think it'll be interesting. I think we're gonna get a lot more science out of it, where Hubble maybe was a little bit prettier. James Webb's gonna give us a lot more to study and look deeper into things. And one thing that I really liked that they clarified during the insertion burn announcement kind of press conference was clarifying what James Webb will be able to look at. Because obviously, it's always got to keep its lens looking away from Earth. But clarifying that at any one time, really, it should be able to see about a third of the sky that we would see. But over the course of that year, it's going to be able to see everything. And then they got into a whole bunch of like Pringle talk about how it orbits with chips and stuff. And it got confusing. If you want to see an animation for it, you can head over to the James Webb's YouTube and they show you a proper animation of the orbit that the James Webb is in, and how it looks like a potato chip. But basically, as it orbits the moon's L2 kind of thing, it takes 180 days for it to do a whole orbit. So every orbit around the sun it does two full orbits of L2. And because of that, every 90 days, it changes from its highest point in relation to the sun to its lowest. So as it goes around, it does kind of a wiggly pattern, which if you circularize looks like a potato chip. I know a lot of people are confused about that, and it was just yeah, it makes sense if you had an image, but they didn't. It was just a telephone call. So it makes sense it's doing what it's doing, and that's why it has to keep doing those burns every 21 days. So it'll be exciting to see what comes next from them there.
Yeah, and I know that we had talked earlier about SpaceX reaching over and possibly going to Mars sometime within the next decade. Did you know, Zach, and people in the chat, the Falcon 9 is actually going to make it to the moon sometime in March? Isn't that pretty cool?
Yeah, for a little bit of an unscheduled stop on its lifeline, the second stage that was launched in 2015, I believe it was, is well, it launched something out to about 1 million kilometers, and it's just been hanging out as space debris, and gravity's now pulled it in enough that it's actually going to impact on the moon, on the backside of the moon, apparently. So not a huge deal really right now. Obviously there's nobody there, but definitely something a lot of people looking forward into the future are saying, like, we need to clean up this space junk, because what if we had people there? Now, second stages aren't that big in relation to what we crashed into it with the Saturn rockets and stuff, as those debris crash. But it's still something, if you had crew on the ground, you'd have to be aware of it. But that's not going to crash into it until March 4th, 5th, I believe it is.
March 4th.
March 4th. So we'll keep an eye on it. If it changes trajectory and starts coming for us, we'll let you know. But everything's pointing to it hitting the backside of that moon. But talking about the Falcon 9s, SpaceX kind of releasing a little information through NASA today about how many launches they're looking forward to doing this year. We've seen every last about 3 years they've been setting new records for the number of launches, but looking at doubling it for next year. Do you remember the number, Ian?
I think they were doing roughly like once every 2 weeks or so last year, and they had this weird period. They had a pretty good cadence actually, but this weird period where for about a month or two, they just didn't launch anything. And they said that it was because of the liquid oxygen. They didn't have like a good steady supply of that. We're kind of unsure if that's truly what the case is, but either way, now they're looking to do it once every week, so doubling that cadence. And that would be, I think, probably the highest cadence that there's ever been. So you could say it's a pretty lofty goal to hit. But at the same time, within the next, I think, week or so, they have about three launches scheduled, and they've done pretty good so far. Of course, they were supposed to have a launch today. That was postponed due to weather, not due to anything operational. But if they continue this sort of a trajectory going forward, and given what they've done so far in the month, I think they're pretty spot on to hit it. What do you think, Zach? Are they going to actually make that goal, or are they going to fall behind a little bit, whether or not it's due to their fault or due to some other reason? Hey, look, there I am. I'm back to normal.
I don't think they're gonna hit 52. I'll play devil's advocate. I don't think they're gonna hit 52. Last year we saw that it was like 30 or 40% of their launches slipped by at least a day. I believe the average time between launches was 23 days over the course of the year, and then they had some tighter segments. I'm curious how they count Falcon Heavies into that number. Is that one rocket, or is that technically three Falcon 9s? Because that is what it is. It's three Falcon 9s strapped together. So I'm wondering if that's maybe something that inflated the number. But yeah, they're really trying to spool up what they're going to be doing, their launch cadence, and are going to try to take on competing with China kind of directly to be one of the largest launch providers. Definitely beating the number of Soyuz we see in a year. So it's exciting for them. It just means you guys can come here at least once a week and have a rocket launch, which I'm excited for. Ian jumping all over the place.
Yeah, now I'm big. One thing I do want to mention too, and only because you had said China, let us know in the chat if you want us to start bringing on them whenever the Chinese rockets do launch, because they're not talked about very often. They don't have a lot of cooperation with the rest of the space community worldwide, but they're doing some pretty cool stuff. And I think they had actually just today or yesterday launched their first orbital rocket of the year. So they're making some pretty good strides.
Yeah, they're definitely launching a lot, and anytime China does do a live stream, we'll patch that in and bring you coverage of that. Unfortunately, 95% of their launches they don't, but
They're not
if it's a
doing
crew
that.
launch, they do it. But I think it's something we could definitely work into this monthly recap of all the kind of China rockets that have gone up, because there are quite a few there. Marcus, twice a week if you include Launchpad. Yeah, you got Launchpad. You're gonna have at least one launch a week, maybe two. Maybe Elon says something and it causes, an emergency live stream. Starbase is gonna have activity. We might be live every day. We're just gonna move in. That's what we're gonna do.
Yeah, look, and yeah, any hour of the day you tune into the channel, and maybe sure Zach and I are going to be online. We'll just have sort of like dueling shifts.
There we go. Yeah. What's sleep? Who we can sleep on the way to Mars.
Yeah,
But
there you go.
continuing focusing on SpaceX, because they're doing everything. CRS-24 splashed down. SpaceX has stopped doing live coverage of their cargo mission returns, but that capsule has returned after about 60 days in orbit. It successfully splashed down near Panama City in the Gulf of Mexico, and was quickly recovered. And we haven't heard much, but apparently everything went well with it, and that their next CRS mission will be in a few months from now. So the launches we
Yeah,
can cover, the splashdowns we miss.
unfortunately, they really don't say too much about that. And I guess, as sad as that may seem, that's probably hopeful towards where the space industry is going, where something that used to be a very big live stream talked about a lot has now become so regular that they almost don't care to give that much information about it. That being said, it is still very important to have about 5,000 pounds of science experiments that they're returning. And of course, they're always sending more stuff out, bringing more stuff in. So as we can continue to get those experiments and go through that data, it helps a lot of things that we have here on Earth. A lot of people don't recognize that the International Space Station does actually serve a purpose. It is just a very cool thing to have that in space and to be able to have people there, but they do have jobs, and they're actually extremely busy, always doing science experiments that benefits climate research around the world, medical breakthroughs, a lot of experiments that you can exclusively do in microgravity that you cannot do here on Earth. The stuff that they bring down from there is really invaluable. So every time we do get one of these missions down, we at least like to mention it because it is very important to the scientific community and therefore kind of to all of us because we'll all benefit from it.
Yeah, and I know if anyone's been kind of following the Twitter community, everything seems to be pointing to NFTs these days. You talk space and it's, how can we relate it to an NFT? Can we have a Starship NFT, a NASA NFT for all the astronauts? And you had caught one a little while back that was NFTs of exoplanets, which
Yeah,
is interesting.
so have you guys ever heard? I'm sure you, most of you probably in the chat have, hopefully, the buy your own star scheme that's kind of been around for a while, where essentially you pay money to XYZ company and they will name a star after you and they'll put it in their star chart. And then whenever you go to that company's website and you look at the public list of stars, it'll show as that name. Of course, sorry to burst your bubble to those that are actually unaware. That's not a real thing. NASA, ESA, no other space agencies recognize that. It just exists within the confines of that specific company, of which there's actually multiple. But same sort of idea here. There's a group of researchers, I think out of some university. I'm sure one of the photos actually has the email that goes a little bit more in depth. But essentially, they are trying to take every known exoplanet and create a little card with photo of the exoplanet that we have, some information about it, stuff like that. And then you can purchase an NFT to kind of claim ownership of that exoplanet. Interesting idea. I think the space community probably wasn't very for it in the research leading up to the podcast today. I tried to go to the website that they had referenced and it's no longer online. So, and I tried to go to the Twitter account that they had referenced. And it does exist, but it's a guy that has one follower. So I'm pretty sure they probably deleted the original account and somebody just took the handle. So who knows? There's a lot of NFT stuff going around. I guess that's just one of the ideas. And scientific community didn't seem too jazzed about it. So, but I want to hear from you guys and I want to hear from you, Zach, too. Do you think NFTs are something that are going to make their way into the space industry, or is that something that's going to always exist kind of outside of that realm?
I think NFTs are just a whole new ball game that are just awkward. Like, the concept of it is neat, it makes sense, but like you're buying in something you don't really own. And now we get
I'm
a
back to
sliver
being
of Ian.
small.
But I don't even know how that one. Okay. You buy a slip buy a sliver of something you don't really own. Like, you could buy half of Ian's face right now, type of thing. But I don't know. I don't really trust it. I feel like if they're still around in a few years, maybe we'll see that, sure, they've been picked up. But I think they're a fad. I think they're, in many ways, a money-making thing. And I mean, there's been some great ones that have done some great stuff for charity. But really, if you can make an NFT of anything, there's really no value behind it unless someone else is willing to pay for it. And it just seems, I don't know. Seems dirty but clean in the same way. So it's like, I'm not sure. It depends who's doing it. I think if the whole space community got behind it, then maybe there could be something there. But yeah, I'm not all too sure about it. I'd rather put my money, I think, into something else. Some
Yeah,
Dogecoin.
I wanna lean a little bit on something you said that they have no value. Yeah, I agree. I'm not a huge fan of NFTs. That said, I'm not a fan of NFTs how they are today. I think that eventually people will figure this out. They can have utility to them. So, for example, let's say I try to think of an example now. I can't think of an example. Maybe somebody goes to a NFT site for some big artist and they're selling a limited amount of NFTs. But if you purchase that NFT, that gives you almost like a season ticket in perpetuity to their concerts, or maybe first access to certain albums whenever they release. So long as there's some utility to that, I think the idea of NFT is actually very cool. No one's really doing that right now. There's a few places to it, but I think on a more wide scale adoption, it hasn't been done. I don't know how it would fit into the space community if there's anything NASA. Well, I don't think NASA would attempt to do it. This would probably be a community founded thing. I don't know what that utility would be for us, but if they were to go into that realm, I think it'd be really cool. But just simply selling the idea of, oh, you own this thing that you don't really own, I don't think that's really gonna fly. And it does in the communities, but I guess a little bit smarter here in the space realm, and they said cut that out, and so they did it.
Well, I hope we're a little smarter. We're trying to go to the moon and Mars, but I agree. I think if there's a way they could pivot it, like I really like the idea of the membership concept. I think that would be a really interesting way of like, you guys buy a TLP NFT. We only release 25 a year, and that gives you access to certain, behind the scenes stuff or something. Like I think there's a way there it could be really interesting. Like your NFT is like your membership card image type of thing, or there's probably a way of doing it, but it needs a retrofit, I think.
Yeah, it definitely does. I think it can be there. You had mentioned me with my sly transitions, the moon earlier. I don't know if you're aware, Zach, but actually be going to the moon maybe within the next few years. Can you tell me maybe a little bit of more about how that could be possible?
Oh, so easy just to go to the moon? It's so expensive though, Ian. Well, actually, a
No,
bunch
but
of
it's not.
rich people have decided to shrink the moon and land it in Las Vegas, of all places, and turn it into a massive resort. This resort was originally going to be entirely just a massive concert hall, and it has evolved as it has grown. And this sphere actually exists. I didn't grab a construction picture, but this thing exists, and they are working on doing all the outside imagery and projection of what it's going to be. But it is going to be a fully inclusive resort that you will be able to do a whole bunch of different stuff, but it's like you're going to the moon. So there's going to be the big ship in the middle, there's a 25,000 or something person concert hall. There is a place in it that you can actually go and rent moon buggies and go into a 6 acre or something area. It's $500 and you can rent the moon buggy and drive around like craters of the moon. And it's going to be designed fully like a station and kind of that immersive experience. I feel like someone saw what Disney was trying to do with Star Wars and that Galaxy Hotel and was like, we can do this but better and probably make more. Because if you follow Disney, you know how well that's going. But yeah, the Moon Resort opening soon. I kind of want to say we're going to be there for the grand opening, but we have to see how much the price is first. That info's not out. But if we can be, I want to take the show to the moon and we do like a launch pod on location or something. I think that could be fun.
Yeah, so you mentioned Disney's not doing too hot with their Star Wars. I really do hope that this one turns out better. From the photos, and I'm sure this information exists and I'm just ignorant to it, how did the window situation work? Like, is that a projection? Is that an actual physically built thing where there's slight windows on the side that you just can't see from that render that we have on screen or had on screen a second ago? I'd be really curious to know, or is it really just something that you're completely confined into, and then you have to just kind of live that experience, but you're not allowed to see outside and kind of ruin the fact that you're actually in Vegas. Outside of that, though, yeah, I'd love to go. I can only imagine if they're charging $500, what was it, for 15 minutes or half an hour or
I
something
think
like
it
that. It's
was
not even a
half an
long time.
hour.
Yeah, $500 for half an hour for that experience. How the rest of the hotel is going to fare up in terms of if it's really that affordable, because there's definitely some high-end hotels in Vegas, but there's also some hotels that are affordable-ish. We'll keep my eye on it. It's definitely going to take some time to build and to fully get right, but as I see and as Zach sees some updates, we'll definitely keep you guys posted because it's an interesting concept. Let us know. Will you stay at the Moon Hotel if you could afford it? Is that something that you would go to Vegas for? Is that something you would just kind of walk around and see? Or would you opt towards other hotels that have been there for a while? What's kind of community's take on this? But
I was trying to spool it up here of what the original concept of it was here, and I'm trying to tune in. So yeah, this is just Google, so bear with me. It's not as pretty as our normal images. This was originally what they were going to be doing, was this big kind of sphere globe projection that I believe was in partnership with MGM. And they were going to do more, but it was going to be this massive, you know, Earth show that they could do. And this was the inside of it for the concert hall. So it's changed quite a bit. But as you can see, like, there's still a lot of space in there of what they can do. So maybe they just realized they had more room. Also, in that image that we actually had of the animation of the thing, there's a lot more below it. So I'm wondering how much is actually going to be in those lower levels, or possibly even in the basement, versus what's actually in the sphere. Like, if you go to Epcot, they have the big sphere, and I didn't even know this when I went, that there's actually a ride in there. Somehow I was oblivious.
Oh yeah, wait. You went to Epcot and you did not ride Spaceship Earth?
I know. I don't know how.
It's not the coolest ride in the world, but it is one of the coolest rides in the world.
Yeah, we missed it. It was just something we didn't do, I think. I think it always had a long line, which is fair. But maybe we're going to see some things like that where it's, you know, main experience, then there's more up in the moon. But we'll just have to wait and see what happens. I don't think we have an opening date just yet, but hopefully in the next year or two. And maybe we'll take the launch pod on the road and do a TOP meetup or something.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. And Marcus, actually, you bring up a kind of a good point that windows aren't really the best for Vegas because it keeps you gambling. I don't know if they said how much gambling they want to incorporate in something like this, or if it's really just going to be more about the experience of being on the moon. Being in Vegas, I guess I have to imagine some sort of a gambling area, or maybe a partnership with a nearby resort that'll fulfill that purpose. But that would also be very interesting to see if a hotel in Vegas can support itself completely independent on the idea of just a really cool moon experience. So moving on a little bit, we're getting towards the end of what we have before we go into questions. So by the way, do keep those questions in the chat if any of you guys have them in regards to anything that we've talked about, or just any general questions you have. Starliner is expected to fly again in May. Do you guys remember Starliner? It's been a little bit.
Will it really?
Yeah, well, they had said May, and then they had their earnings call yesterday, and they said, no, it's really going to be May. So if they're doubling down on it this much, I can't imagine it would be anything other than June. But we'll see. For those of you that are unaware, Starliner did have an orbital flight back sometime in 2019, and was kind of successful. There was a little bit of a software glitch. It wasn't able to dock with the International Space Station because it said that it had done something that it didn't actually do, so they used more fuel than they really should have, and then they had to land it, after which there was a big investigation, 80 recommendations made to Boeing. And now, lo and behold, a few years later, we're back at it again.
And still having fuel problems.
Yeah, well, they're not SpaceX. Everybody that isn't a new rocket company does seem to be moving a lot slower than the new rocket companies. That includes other things, too, like Rocket Labs. But yeah, do you think if they get this orbit flight correct, will they increase their cadence, or will it be enough for them to just say, look, we did it, give us another year or two, and then we're going to do it again before we really start to like send people or anything like that? Do you know what NASA's tentative plan is? Have they even made a tentative plan, or are they really just holding off with announcing anything until they can see if it's really that successful or not? What do you know, Zach, that maybe I don't know?
Yeah, so it's kind of awkward because obviously they won the contract for the crew missions, and we've seen it kind of play out with SpaceX on how those contracts get performed, that though they were won up to six missions, up to five missions, the first three missions are an automatic guarantee when you have the contract. So with that, unless NASA was to somehow rescind the contract, or buy it out, they have to have three crewed missions at some point. Mission 4 and 5, NASA has to actually give their go-ahead to prepare for that mission. And that's how we've now seen SpaceX get an extension for a 6th crew. And they're working on a new contract to obviously extend Crew Dragon into the future. But they're also now moving the Starliner crews out of that training and are now sending them to Hawthorne for SpaceX training, because they need astronauts and they don't have enough. So I don't think NASA's holding their breath that Starliner is going to work. The fact that they opened a request for information a couple months ago for new vehicles to provide crew transportation to the ISS for the next decade until it's retired, I think shows that they maybe don't have enough faith in it, because why else would they not just extend both of those contracts? You know, we're launching 2 a year. You know, we've got about 8 more years of them, but we're already scheduled into kind of mid next year. Realistically, you're probably looking about 30 missions or so, maybe, being not even 30 missions to the station being required. So yeah, I'm not too sure how that'll all get played out. I think NASA just wants them to also just have a flight to prove that, hey, look, we didn't waste all this money in them. Just to see what happens, because it's one of those things, they've been working on this for quite a while. So I hope we see them get off the ground, especially after all this time. It's a cool vehicle. Like, it, you know, you don't want to see anyone fail, especially after, you know, all the years of work that they've put into it. But it keeps seeming like they have more issues.
Yeah, they do keep seeming to having issues. I want to pose something to you, and I don't think I've asked you this before, and we haven't discussed this. So, hot take. I saw a tweet thread the other day that was in general, but then somebody in the space community had commented on it, and I think it's kind of was an interesting idea. The military industrial complex in the United States, at least this thread claimed, I don't really know the validity of it. If something that is contracted by the military is behind schedule with a private company, there are late fees that incur by being behind schedule. Mm-hmm. As far as I'm aware, NASA does not have that built in. So if somebody's late, it pushes back NASA's schedule, but it doesn't reap any benefits to NASA, it just detriment. Do you support, or do you think it's at least an interesting idea to look into, if NASA were to start finding these companies that have dragged things out for 100%. Years with these issues? Not to say that they should push through those issues like and say that they're fine, because we've seen that's a really bad idea. People have lost their lives doing that. But to try and speed things along and say, hey, you need to have some skin in the game. I mean, you already do. You're spending money on this. But the fact that it's pushing back a lot of things that NASA plans to do that affect a lot of other space industry people, projects, satellites, science, and then maybe see a new slight revenue stream from NASA. This one, I think it was a military plane that they had cited in this example, was behind a few years, I think, now. And the military has already reaped $10 billion from it being behind. So if NASA did have that extra revenue stream, do you think maybe help us fund other missions? Or at the very least, if it didn't, that would mean that companies would move a little bit faster and maybe we wouldn't see these incredibly long delays.
Yeah, I think they'd have to be careful how to implement it, but I think on the very basis of just the theory of it, would it help fund NASA and maybe protect NASA's funds more? Yes. I think NASA needs to look more at not giving out as much money to start. Obviously, businesses need the money to develop their prototypes and different things, but I think there definitely needs to be, you know, okay, we've given you $600 million. You know, maybe you only got $300 million, start proving some stuff, then you get the other $300 million or something there. I mean, it's such a, you're talking such big numbers, it's kind of hard to even comprehend it, I think. So I'm not too sure, but I think I've seen it work in the military. I've seen it work even in my own city. We had a bridge that was being built and it was like 4 or 5 years behind and ended up almost paying off the cost of the bridge because of how late they were and what the contract was. So, you know, it worked out well for the city, and not so much for the contractors. So, We'll see what's happening kind of with that. So it's an interesting concept. And I mean, NASA's going to have to start looking at ways to rejuvenate what they are, because once the ISS is gone, you know, we're going to have the Artemis program and that's really it. So things are going commercial and private. So they're going to have to see, kind of what's happening there. Yeah. Ian goes through shape shifting too. I've seen the chat be like, we only have half of Ian. Wait a minute. He'll get really big. And then we'll, who knows what's going to happen.
Yeah, I'm trying to keep myself positioned in this sliver and not in the middle where I usually am, so you can still like see enough of me.
But, there we go.
Well, look, maybe by episode 4 or 5 we'll figure this out. But until now, yeah, I'm gonna keep.
Yeah, there we go. Also, I think wrapping us up on the kind of last thing that happened this week, we had a ULA power slide off the pad. Don't worry, it was planned. This was the first and last. ULA Atlas 5551, so a 5 meter fairing with 5 meter fairing with one Centaur and one booster on it, and that lifted off from Slick 41 at Cape Canaveral Space Force Station, carrying up a couple satellites, and interesting to see Atlas starting to be retired, and that these vehicles were seen the last, but also the firsts of a few of them that have just not been required. But Tori Bruno was sharing a bunch of photos of it out on the pad today and from the liftoff. So if you're not following him, but just that thrust coming out of that that booster on the side's incredible. But you can see why it slides just a little bit off the pad, but is still obviously in control. While that gives it just the extra little boost as it begins its journey. Did you get a chance to watch the launch, Ian?
Oh, I watched a little bit of it live in between a break at work, and then afterwards, like you said, Tori, if you guys don't follow Tori Bruno on Twitter, imagine Elon Musk on Twitter with the amount that he tweets, maybe a little bit more, but then kind of toning it down and being a more typical CEO of a company. Yeah, he puts out tons of content, so I have seen. Yeah, he does. If you say it's your birthday, he'll retweet something. He'll send you merch. Little known secret, I don't want to flood his mailbox, but he's mentioned before, if you send him something at ULA, he will send it back signed. So really great guy. Puts out a lot of photos and videos. At this point, I've probably seen dozens of videos from dozens of different angles regarding this launch. It is a pretty cool configuration, and we don't see anything like this in other rockets. For those of you guys that are unaware.
You know, I had to do it once. I muted myself that whole time.
Oh, did you really?
Ian can hear me raw. You guys couldn't. I don't know where I muted, but yeah, awesome launch. 5511 ULA Atlas 5, 5 meter fairing, 1 meter, or 5 meter fairing, one side booster, one Centaur, first and last of its flight. So that's basically what I said condensed.
That's essentially it. There's about 20 different launch configurations that the Atlas 5 was built to handle. Of date, I think they've only done 10. So I don't know if they're planning on doing anything else. I don't think anything is this cool. I mean, there's other configurations we haven't seen, but this is probably the coolest in my mind. But yeah, they're slowly, as they're getting closer to Vulcan and other rockets, I think they're going to start winding down on Atlas. There's maybe, I read this earlier, about 29 or something kind of in the works. And then once they go through that, I think they're planning on giving it up. So we'll see if there's anything cool that's going to come out. I was going to ask the community. Yeah, I mean, we're talking about ULA right now, but do you guys like this idea of more unconventional rocket designs? Even though, of course, this has a very functional purpose to it. They didn't do it because it was fun. Do you guys like these fun rockets? Do you think that they're more entertaining to watch than regular rockets? And do you hope that you see more of these sorts of things in the future? But I'll let you go ahead, Zach. I'm sorry for interrupting.
No, you're good. I was just gonna say, I think it's I'm glad we're gonna see a few more of the variations before it's retired. It's sad to know that they're not selling it anymore. So if you wanted to buy one, too late. But it's exciting but sad to see a rocket with this history be done. But as people have mentioned in the chat, Vulcan is going to be a really amazing rocket, kind of merging Atlas and the Delta IV and Delta IV Heavy all together into one really great powerhouse rocket there. And then maybe Vulcan Heavy down the road, which I think is just going to look amazing. But yeah, it's kind of coming to an end of an era of ULA. We got probably a couple years of Atlas V's left. But hopefully we're going to see a Vulcan out on the pad here, maybe this year into next year, starting its test flight campaign. Ian's really excited for a Vulcan to get on the pad because he's going
Yeah, I was about to say, don't say next year, Zach. You're gonna make me antsy. Yeah, we've mentioned this before. The first Vulcan payload is going to be from Astrobotic. It's a lunar lander, and I do have a spot on that lunar lander. So as soon as Vulcan launches, you'll definitely be hearing me talking a lot about it, and I'm very excited to hopefully see it sometime soon. Look, I'm back into a sliver, but yeah, we'll see. And actually, I looked at that number as 26. So we're going to see 26 more launches, and then that is going of Atlas V. So,
Look,
oh,
you
am I fixed?
grew.
Hey, look. Nice.
go. But yeah, it's awesome to see. But that's kind of everything that's happened this week. We were going to talk about today's launch. Obviously, that got delayed due to weather. So that is going to hopefully be tomorrow. And you guys can join us live for that. We try to keep an eye on how fueling's going with reports on the ground. So we won't go live unless we've heard that they are beginning the fueling, because that's normally about 45 minutes before flight, unless we have cameras down there, and then we'll go live obviously before that, which we're hoping to have more often. But now's the part I think you guys enjoy most. We want to have your guys' comments, questions, topics, theories, stories, anything that we may have missed in the chat. So you can send that in the chat. Tag us at the launch pad. That's gonna make it easier for us to see your question. If it's a question, maybe put question at the beginning of it if it fits, or a Q. If it's a comment or a story, just send it in that way. And we're going to take some time to answer those. I see a few people asking what launch was that. We were talking about the Atlas V that launched about a week ago, and that it was the first and last of that variation of the 5 meter fairing with the one Centaur engine and the one booster. But about 26 more, did you say?
Yeah, 26 more, and then it's going to be retired. I don't think we have an end date to that. It's probably tentative on whenever they just decide to schedule those launches.
Absolutely. So, yeah, take a moment, send in some questions. We're going to answer those live here for the next little bit. And yeah, just make sure you tag us. It makes it easier for us to see it. I know we had a few questions coming in. Dogtones asking, do we ever think we'll see simultaneous Starship and Falcon 9 lunar landings? Falcon 9, I don't think is ever going to the moon, really. It could Falcon Heavy could get something to the moon, but it's not going to land on the moon.
Yeah, I don't think it was ever even designed to do something like that. So I subscribe with that same. Yeah, I don't think it's going to. However, multiple Starship landings on the moon, maybe that's possible one day. We'll see. That'd be pretty cool. They'd probably have to be pretty far away from each other. I imagine the regolith that it's going to spit out as it tries to land would not be good for another rocket to be anywhere in the vicinity of. But who knows? I don't know. TZ had asked earlier, what is the purpose of this rocket? I assume you were referring to the Atlas V whenever we were talking about it. I didn't look too much into the payloads. There's two satellites. I think they had to be in a, or because of the weight, that was, and I mentioned earlier, there's a functional reason for kind of why it was in that 511 configuration. That's just because of the amount of weight the payload had. There wasn't really enough to justify having two boosters, but there was more than enough to need more than just one. So they had to add that engine onto the side. It's all just about thrust and torque. So the purpose of that was really just to get those one or two payloads up there. Oh, and Zach's digging into it a little bit right now. Do you see? Yeah, so GSSAP5 and GSSAP6, those are going to be in near geosynchronous orbit. They are going to work in conjunction with ground-based radar telescopes. They will support surveillance operations as a dedicated space surveillance network for the Space Force. Okay, so a Space Force launch. There we go.
Yeah.
So it wasn't private, it was
It was
government.
a government. It was another US Space Force. A lot of the missions we see with ULA end up being a Space Force mission. So hopefully we'll see some more of those. They're launching into a constellation, so I'm sure we'll see more of them, and just depending how many they fit into that fairing, end up affecting the weight there. One thing I noticed before we jump into more questions, we forgot to mention the launches upcoming this week. What we can kind of look forward to. Kind of important. Obviously, the Falcon 9 we're hoping for tomorrow, Friday, January 28th. That is going to be the CSG-2 mission. We're then hoping less than 24 hours later to see another Falcon 9 launch from Space Coast, Florida, with Starlink 4-7. Both of those, of course, we will be live for, possibly with live views on the ground. We're working on it. On February 2nd, we've got another Falcon 9, this time from Vandenberg. So all three sites within a week will have a launch. And that's going to be for NROL-87. We're expecting a Soyuz on February 3rd, followed by another Soyuz on February 10th. And then we're going off into February. But over the next kind of week, 10 days, four or five launches there, but three Falcons in 6 days, 5 days is I think gonna be
Yeah, and
amazing.
that's speaking to that cadence. That is speaking to that cadence. Very important question was asked in the chat. I love these sorts of questions. Jay Norris, what's the best way to support this channel? Well, there's some obvious suggestions, such as Liberty Dew derailing us again, sending a super chat. Those are always very appreciated. Thank you so much. And yeah, we did discuss crashing into the moon. So sorry you missed that earlier. But no, so yeah, you can do super chats, you can do memberships. Those are always great. The longer you're a member, the more colors you're going to see that little badge next to your name shift to. Zach had mentioned a few episodes ago a golden helmet. First one to get there wins. We can't say how long it's going to take, but we've got some ways to go.
We'll
My
send a prize to
favorite.
someone who gets that. Why not? You
Yeah,
know,
I'm
first
down
person to
for
get
that.
us a golden helmet maybe gets like a golden helmet shirt or something. We'll figure it out. We got some time. But
It'll be a one-off. It'll be a one-off. That'll be
there's
great.
a few people in the lead, but I think some of you can catch up. But yeah, thanks so much there, Liberty Dude. The crash into the moon, it's an old SpaceX rocket, second stage. Not a huge deal. The media is blowing it up way bigger than it needs to be, because of the movies, Look to the Sky or whatever it is. And those people are all like, oh no, it's fine. It happens all the time just because it has SpaceX's name on the side. People are more worried about it. That's the main
Yeah,
thing.
that's essentially. I do want to finish it up real quick. Of course, like and subscribe is also really good if you can share out this podcast. I know a lot of you guys are here speak from James Webb, but we do try and talk about other things. So it's something that we want to expand into. The more people see this, the better. The best way that you can support us long term, other than liking and subscribing, would be this really cool site. Maybe before we have golden helmet shirts, you can buy other shirts, other great shirts, great water bottles, great duffel bags, great stickers, great masks, really a lot of different things. There we go, we have it on the screen. For those of you unaware, we do have an Etsy site, and it's got some pretty cool stuff. It's got some limited edition stuff. Actually, we just got rid of our James Webb limited edition t-shirts now that it's in L2, but that's not to say that there isn't still a James Webb shirt there. Or that we won't release limited edition stuff going into the future. Zach did show me today some upcoming designs, and I won't say more than that, but do keep your eyes peeled on the site because we do have some great stuff coming down the pipeline. So if you guys do want to purchase something there, tell your friends and family about it that don't even have to like the channel. It's just very cool merch on its own. And then, of course, continue to support us here through the podcast or other live streams, memberships. And all that jazz. What about, did I miss anything, Zach? Any other ways that we can support
You
the channel?
nailed it. No, I'm kidding. This was not
Well,
planned
no,
at
actually,
all.
I didn't nail it because also we have a Patreon. So do talk about that
Yeah, you can also do our Patreon, patreon.com/thelaunchpad. If you don't want your name in green or the little helmet on the next side of you, you can go to Patreon. The memberships are a couple dollars less a month, but we get a larger percentage of them, so it balances out that way. YouTube's a little bit more to offset the percentage that YouTube takes, but same perks and benefits. The higher you go up, there's discount tiers for our merch as well that you get a consistent coupon code for yourself, or even free merch, depending on it. The free merch generally starts at about the 3 month mark, and you can get 1, 2, or 4 shirts a year from us. And one of the ones I wanted to point out on the shop, just because it's a little harder one to put on an image, is our new James Webb commemorative deployment shirt. For it, just to give you an idea, on the front it does have an image of James Webb, just a simple kind of straight on shot, but on the back we're actually milestoning kind of all the milestones with the dates through the entire deployment series. You can check that one out, pick it up. That's gonna be around for a bit, we appreciate you guys taking a look at the shop there. That really does help us out planning to do some other stuff and expanding into some new things. So yeah, appreciate the look there.
Yeah, and Jay Norris, the same guy that asked that question, flexing his muscles, giving us that $1.99 donation. Thank you so much. We appreciate every single cent of it.
Thank you so much. Jumping into some of the questions, if you guys have questions, keep sending those in. Just make sure to tag us at the Launchpad so that we're able to flag it out of the chat there. France is asking, any news on the FAA of Starship? Nope. another quiet week there. End of February is when we're currently expecting the next update from the FAA, unless they plan to do another delay, and then we'll probably hear that mid-February. But end of February, that's the earliest that we're expecting any news there. We're hoping to see some more testing of Starship in the future, but right now they've been doing a lot of work on the tower, cleaning it up, taking down some of the scaffolding and things like that. I'll give a shout out to a friend of the channel. If you haven't followed Space News Pod and Starship Daily, definitely check out Starship Daily. Will is down there sending videos from on the ground of the different developments that are happening, so you can check them out, and we can't wait to be down there soon as well, bringing coverage from there. Zen Matrix, general question, how does the news that space zero gravity kills red blood cells affect future missions to Mars? Ooh, that's a big topic. Any ideas?
I actually have not read too much into that, so I can't say too much, but it does not sound good.
Yeah, I'd have to dive deeper into it as well, so maybe it's something we'll circle back to next week. I can go into there. We'll save that question for it. But yeah, definitely something that they're now looking at, obviously longer term missions of talking 6 months or a year in zero gravity. Because obviously once you're landing on Mars, you've at least got some gravity. So they're hoping maybe that would offset some of it, that maybe you have to stay longer there before you can do a return mission. So lots of questions more than answers currently, but they are looking into it.
Somebody had asked this earlier towards the beginning of the podcast. I don't remember who, and for some reason I can't scroll up to see it. They had asked, though, if we plan on having guests on the podcast at any point. That would be something I think Zach and I would both really be into. You'd have to let us know what kind of guests you'd like to see on the podcast, and then maybe we can start to reach out to people once this reaches a little bit more maturity and work on something. What do you think, Zach?
Absolutely. I'd love to have other people on, maybe have some of our mods on, but also just have, you know, when we're down on location, I think it'd be fun to, you know, set this up at Kennedy and do a show there, you know, with whoever's there. I'm not sure if you need permits for that, but we'd figure it out. I think it'd be fun to have some other people on. We want to obviously still keep a little bit of a structure so you guys know what you're expecting each week, but, you know, doing special editions with guests or different things. And of course, here on the launch pad, we're still going to be doing our interviews as well. So I think it's what type of conversation do you want with people? Do you want, you know, them a little bit more structured interview style, or are we having a kind of a longer conversation with the guests? So depending on their availability would affect that as well. But we're working on some interviews and look forward to sharing some more about those in the near future. But absolutely want to have some more people on once we iron out our camera kinks. Can't have Elon Musk on and then Ian just shrinks to the size of a pencil.
Or Elon shrinks to the size of a
Oh,
pencil.
well, that'd be funny. That would turn into an NFT right there. Alicia's asking, how many Soyuz capsules are there? A lot. They build a lot of them and they just park them ready to go. They posted a picture last year and I think they had like eight Soyuz and Proton, like Soyuz, not Proton, frigate and something else just lined up ready to go for crew and cargo. So yeah, there's a lot of those. Obviously, Soyuz is not reusable, so they really just scrap all of it after each mission. But they've had over 2,000 launches, so they've got a lot there.
Yeah, they've
Patreon
been
link is
pretty
broken.
successful.
Patreon.com/thelaunchpad should work. If not, let
Yeah,
me know and we'll double check it.
they posted, one of the mods posted the link in the
Oh, perfect.
chat, and it looks to be good now, and they said
Beautiful.
thank you. So I think it's all good.
Yay.
Zen Matrix also
Thank you so
flexing his
much.
muscles.
Thank
Thank
you
you
so
guys
much.
for all these super chats and donations. We really appreciate it.
Marcus, example how to tag. Okay, not a question. Example how to tag properly. I love it. Willow's asking, would water shielding, wouldn't it help? That is something they're looking into. Absolutely. Looking at what they can do with water, and also look at doing, maybe they're not always surrounded by water, but what protections they can do. They're definitely looking at water shielding for radiation for solar flares, and instances like that where they have to kind of evacuate the ship into a small region, like they do on the ISS if there is ever a major flare that isn't major enough for the ISS to evacuate completely, which we haven't had, luckily. But when you're on your way to Mars, you don't exactly have anywhere to go. So we'll see what happens there. Liberty Dude's asking, do you guys think the UFOs are next level military test aircraft? I personally, yes. I think, I hope that the US military and other militaries have science and technology that we don't understand. Or, like, I hope that. Because then it means they're putting their money to something. And are working to make sure that the countries are safe, but also advancing. I mean, a lot of stuff comes out of the military, just like a lot of stuff comes out of the space program. So, I think a lot of that is UFOs. I think also, like I've seen on Twitter lately, a UFO just means you don't know what it is. Doesn't mean someone doesn't. And I think that's a very important distinction. Tons of people thought Starlink was a UFO convoy coming to Earth for a visit. No, it's 66 satellites that cost a quarter million each, just flying by. So I think that's a big thing with UFOs. But are there an alien or two? We'll let you decide.
Yeah, Zach has the privilege of living in Canada where the US government doesn't have his guys on him. So I'm going to stay out of this conversation and say, I don't know. But you
It's
might
okay. They've got
recall.
their
So,
spies in the Discord already. No, I'm kidding.
okay. Yeah, whenever SpaceX had launched, I think this was close to 2 years ago, out from California, and they had the plume in the sky whenever the first and second stage separated and the second stage booster or engine had started up. A lot of people thought that that was some shooting star or some alien coming down or something. So yeah, similar thing. I'm sure someone out there knows what these things are and just don't really want to say.
There needs to be
Let's keep
experimental
going through these questions.
centrifuges on the space station. I believe they have a couple little ones for like blood tests and stuff, but nothing too crazy there. Into the Cosmos read into me saying Elon Musk, as we haven't nailed down an Elon Musk interview. That is not true yet.
I wish.
We're working on it. One day, Elon, call us. We'll come to you. Zen Matrix, a guest interview with someone expert on exoplanets and black hole phenomena. That'd be cool. Absolutely. Love to have some
I can.
interviews with those, or some shows like this with those type. I think those type of guests very much are more conversational than sit down interview, because you guys can, be asking questions as well. So absolutely, that's a good idea there. Liberty Dude says you guys should get together in Brownsville, dinner and an interview. You
Diner.
guys should get together in a Brownsville diner and interview diners about SpaceX in the air. Interesting. So like kind of an idea of what's the local feeling. When I was down there in September, definitely asked all the waiters and stuff that we met at the Earls in Brownsville. Really good place. It's absolutely party atmosphere. It was funny. Yeah, everyone seemed happy. When you wear a SpaceX hat, you definitely get noticed. I will say that. There is definitely, it's like wearing a, you know, a military hat, you know, near a base. They're going to think you're in the military, even if you're just a supporter. So be prepared for people to walk up. Oh my gosh, you work at SpaceX? No, I live in Canada, but I support them. And everyone we talked to seemed really happy. Elon and SpaceX are investing millions and millions of dollars into the region. And the few people that I talked to are super excited because they're giving their kids hope that they could actually stay in their hometown but still have these really incredible jobs. And for a border community, that's not normally something that you hear. So that's a really cool thing to be hearing from on the ground. But great idea there.
One thing I do want to mention to kind of rep out a friend real quick. Of course, we were talking about interviewing people in regards to SpaceX in Brownsville. If you have any interest in doing an interview about the Artemis program, one of the people that we met during the Inspiration 4 mission, his name is Nate, he has a website, countdowntothemoon.org, where for the past, I think it's been a year and a half now, if not longer, he has been doing daily interviews with random people from the public that usually he finds, but you can sign up for an interview yourself on that website in regards to the Artemis program. And he's got some pretty great questions. Every single interview he's ever done is uploaded to that site if you want to see what questions he's asked before. It's kind of cool to see people be generally excited about the idea of space. It's very cool to see how many people don't even know that the Artemis program exists. And then when we tell them that we are going back to the moon, they're completely blown away. And then other times, there's just some very interesting, weird conversations that go on with certain. Any of you have any interest in being in those interviews? Of course, we're going to try to do that style of interview if we do go down to Brownsville. But Nate's a great guy doing this and is already doing this for a while. Give it a sign up. Let him know that you're interested. He's got lots of spots every single day. Be a part of space history. He's going to keep doing this up until we actually land on the moon and Artemis is a thing. So it's going to be there for a while.
It's really cool. I was watching a few of them earlier, and I'm going to be jumping on and doing one here. One of my favorites that he does, and he's done this with a lot of people, is he's going out and he wants to talk to everyday people. And I think that's one of the great things. I'm glad you gave it a shout out there. Is he will, you know, be at the airport and just be like, hey, can I ask you a couple questions for my project? And he turns the camera on. The people don't know the questions. And the number of people, like you said, that don't know Artemis exists, they don't know Falcon Heavy, Falcon 9, they don't know any of this, is, I think, so incredible. And it's exciting because you literally see people like, wait, we're actually going to the moon? Like, they get excited even though they know almost nothing. So definitely, yeah, countdowntothemoon.org. Check it out. I'm going to be jumping on there. Did you do one yet, Ian? I think you did one.
I did. Let's see who is the first person to figure out which number interview I was in.
Yeah, there we go. First person to put in the comments, I don't know, wins a high five or something. But head on over there, sign up, you know, and if you do, let them know we sent you over. But excited to see that project continue and just that whole conversation of, you know, bringing more people into the space thing because space is better together.
Liberty Dude, yes, the moon does actually exist. Great question, though. I'm glad we can clear that up. And Brandon Smith, what is his podcast about? So it's kind of about a lot of different things, but essentially it's a rundown of the space news over the past week. We give our take. We talk about some of the cool new things that are going on, some of the launches, some of the other space-related news. And then we get to answer community questions, and that's kind of the phase where we're in now. So thank you for joining us, and do continue to watch future episodes because they'll be happening every Thursday night at 8 p.m. Central, whatever that is in other time zones.
8 Central, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, or Western. Apparently some people call it Western, I've been told in the Discord. Didn't know that. Or 2 a.m. UTC. Sorry to our European friends. But again, if you're watching the replay, let us know. Alicious is asking, when are we going to see another entertaining FAA show? We are in the list with the FAA, and we try to get updates on when those are happening. because of how the pandemic's going, they have started doing some more of them in person again. But if there is a exciting FAA one, we will try to bring that to you. We've only had one other real big one, which was on a landing license for Dream Chaser. But it wasn't for like all of Dream Chaser. It was for like one airport. So there wasn't a lot to really go off of that. And it was at a really weird time. I think it overlapped a launch, but we are keeping an eye on that. Marcus, absolutely. We need to go back and have more of those pretzels at the house, ale house there, Cocoa Beach. Don't worry, it's family friendly, but the pretzels. We ordered one for the table, and I don't know how many we fit. We ate all the pretzels they had left. It was just, oh, so good. Into the Cosmos, have all the mods on 1 week. That could be interesting. All the mods, or do a rotation. Because I think if we're all on here, we're just going to talk over ourselves. Ian and I already do it.
it'd be a little crowd. Yeah, we try our best. But I think we're getting better with flowing back and forth between each other instead of making it like one chunk Zach, one chunk Ian with some silence in the middle. Do want to shout out real quick, Aaron Wilson does seem to be the first person to find out which episode I was in. So good job. That was pretty quick.
Now you have to tell us, what does he say at the 7 minute, 26 second mark? No, I'm kidding.
Oh, come on. Yeah, I don't know. Also, my dad's in the interview. So if you want to see the both of us kind of go back and forth, that'd be cool.
Francis wants us to get a Neil deGrasse Tyson interview. Anyone got contacts? That'd be fun.
That'd be great. My thesis advisor has met, I don't know if Neil deGrasse Tyson, but some pretty high up people. So I'll see if maybe she'd be willing to do a podcast one day or hook us up with somebody cool in the science and space community. So you say it as a joke, but I don't know. Neil deGrasse Tyson, Bill Nye, maybe one day.
Bill Nye would be fun. You know how we would be starting that podcast. I wouldn't even care if it us a copyright strike. We'd have to.
There's no other way to do it.
Declan's asking, what about the proposed lunar landing sites? Any serious suggestions? NASA's got a few. They're targeting the South Pole for the Artemis stuff, but they haven't released too much direct detail about what the exact locations. But obviously they are looking at that there. I think they wanted to make sure they had a lander first. So it'll be interesting to see. Zen Matrix, I can't imagine. A kid whose parents worked on Starship growing up and seeing people going to Mars. I am so excited that we get to live through this time, but for our kids that are going to, you know, grow up in a world where it's normal that people are going to the moon. It's normal people are going to Mars. You know, the kids being born now that are, you know, going to be in school while that's happening. I think we're going to see a lot of kids be inspired to really push further and dream more and take chances. So definitely something really exciting there.
Dog Tones trying to spread the love of space in Trinidad. I think that's a great idea. I'm really glad to hear that we have viewers not just from America, the UK, Canada. I looked at our demographic split. Actually, we have second behind the US is India. So shout out to all of our Indian viewers. Hey, but Trinidad, that's not something that I really saw on the list. So glad to see you here. And yeah, definitely get them interested in space. I feel like there's a lot of countries, specifically the ones without major space programs, don't really talk about space and the public doesn't seem very invested in it. But that doesn't mean that that can't change one day. So share your passions, talk about it, and we'll more enthralled. Maybe you'll get that spaceport in Trinidad. I saw that you had that comment about that earlier. That'd be great. I'd love to see spaceports in lots of other countries around the world.
I think Liberty Dude's got a great way for us to get Neil deGrasse Tyson. We just have to tweet that Pluto is a planet, which relates to our conversation last week about what is Pluto. Yeah, you're right. That'd be probably a pretty good way to make that happen. First, last, I feel bad for the poor kids. Satellites just waiting to get launched by Astra. So many delays. They're hopefully going to be launching soon. One of the interesting things, they were ready to launch at Cape Canaveral, but they didn't have a launch license. So they're in the same boat as Starship, waiting on the FAA to get their approval. But hopefully we will see that occur shortly here. My kids are going to be broke if Astra stops. It'll go up eventually. It'll go. It's a pretty good rocket. So that would be pretty good there. Freebird says, I don't see that option to donate. How y'all doing that? So right below here, you should be able to click on a box that has a dollar sign, and then it gives you two options, Super Sticker or Super Chat, or you can hit join and then just do it as a membership. There you go.
Yeah, I'm trying to show it on my phone. Yeah,
yeah, so the bottom right corner.
Yeah. Pull it up in the chat. It should be there. Should be at, shame on you, YouTube. But that would be where you go.
Yeah, wouldn't be surprised. They don't like this. there's a couple ways. But I think that wraps up our questions for the week. Any last thoughts? What are you excited for in the week ahead or hoping that we see?
Three SpaceX launches. I think that I can't say that that's actually going to happen. We've already seen a weather delay. And when you have them that back to back, one delay means everything. But that cadence is incredible. Even if we don't hit that one a week, just seeing three launches within a week from one company is pretty spectacular. So that's what I'm most excited about. Unfortunately, there's no giant James Webb Space Telescope milestones that we're going to be hitting. No other big space news for the week that I think we're anticipating. But what about you? Anything that's on your radar, Zach?
Same thing. Three Falcon 9s. I like that it's from three different pads. I think that's really kind of cool that you're obviously two are in Florida, one's in California, but it's kind of neat seeing that just that frequency and that they're ready to go and that, you know, how quickly can they turn it around? In fact, we're going to see another return to landing zone was something that was supposed to happen today, maybe tomorrow. You know, we've already had one of that this year. Now we've got a second, maybe a couple more throughout the year. They're pretty rare. I'm hoping they'll do one when we're down there sometime, because it'd be amazing to get to see that in person rather than out on the drone ships. But picking up that cadence. And I'm just happy they're punching through it now. They're like my hockey team here in Edmonton. You know, the beginning, they're punching through it. Now, the question is, are they going to hold it the rest of the season or are they going to fail like we do? So we'll see what happens. But it's definitely something that's exciting to see. I don't think there's any major news that we're expecting to come out this week. But we're always on the eye for that. If you guys ever do see a story that we haven't tweeted, dropped in Discord, or talked about on an upcoming show, you guys can actually send us stories or topics you want us to cover on upcoming shows over on thelaunchpadofficial.com. You click on the launch pod, and there's a form there that you can send in stories or topics for free. Or you can do it on our Discord. Head to the launch pod section. There's a send in a news tip or story tip, and you can drop it in there. And we'll be trying to pick a couple of those every week to go over. If you guys have questions ever during the week, you can also send those in a couple different ways. You can do it through our Streamlabs link in the description of our upcoming podcast. Or you can send it in as a super chat on any of our streams, and we will try to save those for the upcoming weeks as well. A couple questions coming in. Margaret, Ian, what's up with that slow spinning star thing that CNN was talking about? I think they're talking about the Earth behind you.
No. I this is my girlfriend. I know exactly what she's talking about. So CNN had put out an article. She was reading it out to me, and it had started out basically just explaining what a quasar is, which, for those of you that are unaware, is a neutron star or white dwarf that, because it went from the size of a star to something the size of a city, has a lot of momentum and starts to spin at a very large fraction of the speed of light that generates a very strong magnetic field and then has big blasts of energy that is coming out. But because it's spinning, we only see a little bit of that blast once every fraction of a second or a few seconds or whatever. And that's why it's called a pulsar, because to us it looks like it's pulsing. But we found one of those stars where typically something pulses very, very quickly. This one's pulsing something on the order of once every 18 minutes, which apparently was theoretically possible, but we never expected to actually see it. So I haven't gotten around to actually reading too much about it yet, but the physics degree side of me is very confused of how that is possible or happened. So I will definitely be digging more into that. And then maybe next episode, I can actually answer that question. Beyond that, all I can say is it's very, very weird, and stay posted.
There we go. I'm just fascinated by that you have an Earth that spins by solar power, but the pulsar is more exciting too. Heather Dope, have you heard that joke about turning on your fireplace just to boo the flames? No.
I don't think I've heard
Don't think I've heard that.
that
I want to know what the punchline is. Declan wants to see a SpaceX second stage return as well. First Last says he'll double down on Astra again after that. It's a long walk off a short pier. Oh my. Make your own financial decisions, but I think Astra will pick it up. Freebird, thank you so much for that super chat there of the hippo, I think, doing a big thumbs up. Thank you so much. Appreciate
Yeah,
that.
cool hippo.
Thanks for hanging out for the night. Oh, it's a hockey joke. See, I watch it when we're winning. After that, it's just off. There's something better to do. But I think that's gonna do it for us here tonight in episode 003 of the Launch Pod. If it was your first time here, let us know in the comments below. Also, if you've watched the replay and made it all the way to the end, let us know that as well. And if there's any questions that we missed or you guys think of after, you can drop those in the comments or send it in through one of the other ways. But that's going to do it for us here on episode 002. Any last words, Ian?
Last word being a
003.
003. But
Math.
yeah, we'll get there. Yeah, great for having me. It's always nice to talk to the community. I feel like the more we have these episodes, the more people get comfortable with engagement, and that's something that we really like to see because we really do thrive off of your comments and your questions. So thanks for being so great to all of us. Thank you to all of our members. I don't know if anybody had joined this stream, but to everybody that's joined previously and to everybody that gave donations and did super chats, we of course love you guys too. That's always very helpful. Check out the store, check out our Discord, and we'll see you guys next week.
Yeah, we're going to jump on over to the, you didn't plug the Discord. We're doing it right now. We're going to head on
I
over
just
to
said,
the
check out the
we're going to
Discord.
head on over to the Discord. You can join that over here. I'll drop the link in the chat. I'm not going to eat this time, Marcus. I ate before, actually. And I did Ian eat before?
Yeah, I typically don't, but this
We're
time I
winning.
did.
We're
We
winning.
both had dinner.
So we're gonna head on over to the Discord. Feel free to jump over in live comms. We'll come say hey and chat it up in there for a little bit. But that is going to do it for episode 003 of the Launchpad. This is Zach and Ian signing off. We'll see you next time. Have a great night, everyone.